Our reading today is from 1 John 1, starting with verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Good morning. It certainly is good to be with you all again, as it is the first day of the week. And as I was reading in the bulletin a little while ago, it's hard to believe it is the last first day of the week in 2013. But as we come together, we do something that we often have done, but I wonder many times if we truly understand the full meaning. You may have noticed that the song that Zach led us in a moment ago in the reading that Don presented to us just a second ago deals with the term fellowship. A lot of times when somebody says fellowship, the first thing that comes to mind is, that's when we all get together and go out to eat. But you know, there's so much more than that that we find throughout Scripture. When you do a study to see exactly what all is entailed when one fellowships with another, the idea is to share all things, to have communion with, to be in complete partnership, to have a close mutual relationship, to jointly participate with, to contribute to, or even to give to someone else. You can see in all these instances, both parties are together, showing complete unity in some kind of activity. Here, as we've read in the book of 1 John in chapter 1, you'll notice that John tells us how we can have true fellowship with God, with His Son, and certainly with each other. If you'll pay especially attention to verses 3 and 6, let me read these again. John says, "That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Later in verse 6, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." First of all, we have to notice that we have fellowship with God. In fact, from the very beginning, that was God's plan. If you go back to the beginning, and notice in Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, there in the beginning chapter 1, notice what is said in verses 26 and 27. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, here's what God has to say. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. You can get a sense of fellowship if, after all, we are made after God's own image. There's got to be something in common that man has with God. This may be hard a concept at first, but then when we learn about Jesus Christ, who is God's only begotten Son, we begin to understand what it is we have in common. John tells us in his first chapter how Jesus was in the beginning with God and was God. And verse 14 of John chapter 1, remember the famous passage that tells us, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." we can see God by seeing Jesus. Jesus said that if we had seen Him, we've seen the Father. And Jesus is what connected God with mankind. And you'll recall that as Jesus began to undergo the crucifixion, He was very prayerful, knowing what was about to take place. And I'd like for us to take a moment to look at a few things that Jesus prayed for during that prayer. When we all turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 17, you can divide this chapter into three parts. The first part, Jesus begins to pray for Himself and what He is about to undergo. But then He begins to pray for His disciples, those that were following Him, that had seen Him and had heard Him, and for the work that they were about to be undergoing. But then, as we come to verse 20 in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for them and all of us. What would we do? Well, let's see exactly what He has to say. In John chapter 17 and in verse 20, Jesus says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for these who will believe Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. And I have declared it to them, Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them." Notice the idea of the fellowship that Jesus had with His Heavenly Father. And same, He says that we can be one as they are one. We are one in them, they are one in us. So if Christ has fellowship with God and wants us to have fellowship with God, doesn't that come naturally? That if we both have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with each other? Certainly. And that was all part of God's plan. The Apostle Paul would tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there in verse 9, that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God called us into the fellowship of His dear Son. As Christians, being abiding in Christ, you can see how we have fellowship with Jesus. And one act that is very evident of what we do is what we have just observed here a few moments ago. As we are commanded upon the first day of the week, as Ralph had read to us, we not only give of our means, but we also partake of the Lord's Supper. In the book of Acts in chapter 20, there in verse 7, we have the example of coming together upon the first day of the week as Christians to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we're partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, we have fellowship when we all go back to the cross. Remember what Christ did for you and me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verse 16, the Apostle Paul was giving some very clear instructions of what are we doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper. He asked a question in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. When we come together, we are one as a body of Christ, and as Christ is the head of the body, which is the church, we are one with Him. Thus, as Christ was on that cross, we all go back to the cross. But you see, this is just one part of being a Christian. Being a Christian means that we share in all things in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul truly understood this, because he teaches us that when one is baptized into Christ, we have fellowship with His suffering and with His death. Notice with me the book of Philippians in chapter 3. Here in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul tells us what realization he had come to. He says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. How did Paul conform to the death of Christ? How did he partake in the fellowship of Christ's suffering? Well, if we were to become a Christian, we must understand that there are many things that we're going to have to suffer, don't we? After all, remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the young man Timothy. There in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, he said clearly in verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Did Jesus suffer persecution? He certainly did on many, many occasions. And if I'm going to be a Christian and follow after Christ, I'm going to have to suffer persecution. And in that realm, you can clearly see how I have fellowship with Christ. But then let's go back even farther. What does it take to become a Christian? Well, clearly, one has to be baptized into Christ. And when one is baptized into Christ, he enters a period of fellowship with Him. In Romans chapter 6, there beginning in verse 3, Paul explained that very, very clearly. He said in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Got the idea? Christ died, was buried, and rose again. When we become a follower of Christ, we're willing to die to our sins, to be buried with Him in baptism, and then to be raised again to walk in a newness of life. Clearly, we show fellowship with Jesus Christ in that very regard. But then, what happens when we become a Christian? Well, you remember that Jesus prayed that we would be one in us, as He says, as we are one. When you hear the word us in the very beginning, you find that in the beginning was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. In the book of Acts, in chapter 2, we read upon the day of Pentecost as Peter was preaching the gospel. The people had heard and wanted to know what to do in order to be saved. In verse 38, remember what Peter said to them? "To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we think about the oneness that we have with the Spirit, remember that according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one Spirit. Thus, there is one Spirit, there is one body of Christ, as we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. You can see the fellowship that we would have with Him. Perhaps that may be a little hard to understand, but notice a couple of things that Paul had written to churches showing about that fellowship. For example, in the second chapter of the book of Philippians, notice what Paul had to say there. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Here Paul writes, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." If there is fellowship of the Spirit, that means, too, we've got to be united, doing things for the same purpose. Another example is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the last chapter that Paul had written to the Corinthians. And notice what he says as he concludes his letter in the very last verse, and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." One with God, one with Christ, one with the Holy Spirit. We abide in them and they abide in us. But then going back to our text in 1 John chapter 1, notice who else that John said we have fellowship with. Again in verse 3, he says, "You may also have fellowship with us." Later in verse 7, he says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." That is a blessing in and of itself. To be a Christian as children of God, we have that in common. We're all Christians. We all have been saved by the blood of Christ. Our sins have been washed away, and thus we are all striving to receive that crown of life that John describes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And certainly, as we all want to get there, we all want to help each other to get there. And it doesn't matter who we are or where we come from, because the fellowship is extended unto all. Remember the gospel that Paul described to the Romans in chapter 1 and in verse 16? He says, who the gospel is really for. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek." It doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile, we can be at fellowship with one another, provided we all obey the gospel of Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, there in verse 9, notice what Paul also says. He mentions James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, and when they perceived the grace that had been given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. When someone extends a hand of fellowship, that basically says that we accept you, that you are going to be one with us. Just as we have had the chance to hear and believe the gospel, now you are partakers of the gospel with us. And just as we may go to the Jews, now you have a chance to go to the Gentiles. Because you'll remember that even Peter learned in Acts chapter 10 that the gospel is also for the Gentiles. As Cornelius was a Gentile, had prayed unto God always, being very devout, but he did not know what to do in order to be saved. And because of the vision that Peter had, he learned that, yes, God has shown me that there is no partiality with him. The gospel is indeed unto all. Later in Galatians, when we go to chapter 3 and verse 27, when Paul says that as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, we understand that first we have fellowship with Christ, but then what? Verse 27 or 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jews can have fellowship with Gentiles. Slaves can have fellowship with those that are free. Males have fellowship with females. But that's only possible here in Jesus Christ. But then, as we are all together members of the body of Christ, we should fellowship in doing good things for Christ, should we not? And we have many examples throughout the New Testament that did so. One example is found in Romans chapter 15. Notice with me, beginning in verse 26, what was very significant about the Macedonians and the Achaeans. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 26, we read this. Paul says, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things." The Macedonians and Achaeans saw an opportunity to contribute to the poor. Again, one of our key words is contribution. Someone participates in helping another. If someone is poor, they may be without certain things. You recall that even Jesus came to be like all of us, understood what it was like to be poor, to share with our things so that we might have what he has. Paul says there are those that need to help others indeed. Brethren and the Lord's church, those perhaps in the world that we can lead them to Christ. He would later tell the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 how there were some that went well beyond their ability to give. And who do you think he was speaking about? Again, those in Macedonia. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we make known unto you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." That is one way that we can all join forces to minister to the needs of the saints, to work together. And in fact, is that not what the early Christians began to do? Didn't they have all things in common? Well, when we go back to the book of Acts in chapter 2, you'll notice what was first said about them in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in fellowship, but what did they do to show that they had fellowship? Well, now let's look just a few verses later. Beginning in verse 44, we're told very plainly, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all so anyone has need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." They had a lot more than food in common, didn't they? They were being saved. They had Christ in common. They began to share everything that they had with one another. They shared their efforts. As chapter 3 unfolds, we see how the church begins to grow. They shared their efforts in ministering the gospel to many, many others. And sometimes we're even told that they broke their bread from house to house. They did eat together, but that was just one small portion. It is so much more. And thus, as we continue to have fellowship with each other, as the book of Acts said, that they continued steadfastly, that's what we always need to do, to spread the gospel and share our faith with others. If we go back to the book of Philippians, there in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said in verse 5 that those in Philippi had fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What are we doing with that gospel? Do we believe it ourselves? Do we obey it? Do we teach it to others? I certainly hope and pray that we do. And that was one thing that Paul was encouraging Philemon to do. He said in the book of Philemon, verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Share your faith. Have that in common with others, and also give others a chance to partake of that one faith. Yes, there is only one faith, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. And you remember that Jude encourages us in verse 3 of his book to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. All of us contending earnestly for one faith, brethren, that's fellowship. But just as we have fellowship with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with one another, we also got to keep in mind that there's some that we cannot have fellowship with. Let's go back for a moment to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember that here we looked at verses 16 and 17, Paul addressing of how we partake of the Lord's Supper, having communion with Christ and with one another. If we come just a few verses later, in the same context, in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, "Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons." When you look at the bigger picture, going back to verse 14, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Is there something that is separating us from God? Do we tend to dwell on earthly things rather than the spiritual things? You know, when we come together upon the first day of the week and partake of the Lord's Supper, I know it's very, very easy for our minds to drift, to wonder exactly what we might do when we depart from this place, what might be cooking and waiting for us to get home and partake of, or we might be wondering about brother or sister so-and-so or other things that are going on in our lives. You can see how that separation would cause us to be away from our thoughts of Christ and the thoughts of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are thinking about those lines. And so, the next thing that we should not fellowship with are those things that Christ said for us not to do. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'd like for us to begin here in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 14. Paul says very plainly, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. For as God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." That pretty much sums it up, does it not? God is our Father. We are His children after obeying His gospel. Thus, we have fellowship with our Father and the rest of His children as we are all one in Christ Jesus. But one thing I want us to point out as we get ready to conclude is that light has no fellowship with darkness. Do you remember reading about something in our text about God is light and in Him is no darkness at all? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, John tells us in chapter 1 that the world was in darkness until now. That is, until Christ, the true light, came from heaven, according to verse 5. And now, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Brethren, I hope and pray that we've all heeded that calling, that truly we can have fellowship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and with all that believe on His Word. What a wonderful blessing it is to be together. But on the other hand, we must not have the fellowship with the world. Instead, we're to lead the world unto Christ. The question for you this morning is, who are you in fellowship today? Do you need to be in fellowship with God, with Christ, and us? If so, won't you come as together we stand and sing?